Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rolene Marks, good morning. What do you think?
Oh, good morning. You know, I don't like to focus on the mud, Howard, because then I'm going to get my shoes dirty.
Exactly. So you've got to look ahead.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, it's been a bit of a muddy week in terms of elections, hasn't it? That's the mud that Israel seems to be stuck in at the moment.
Absolutely. Talk about being stuck in the quagmire. This is where we're at with no definitive result. All the ballots have been counted, and there is no clear majority. And Netanyahu has fallen short of that needed majority that he wants for him to retain the premiership. So now the strategizing, the horse trading, the behind-the-scenes maneuverings begin.
Yeah. And what is going to happen? I mean, is there a way forward?
Well, this is where we stand at the moment. With all the votes counted, we haven't seen any movement with regards to the two blocks. Remember, this is not necessarily about who wins the election in terms of seats, but who is able to form a coalition. And, you know, the run-up to this election was pretty boring. You know, we didn't have the politicking and the fireworks and the everything that we've come to expect from elections. But, hey, when you do it twice a year, Howard, you know, the thrill is somewhat gone. However, with these results, it is somewhat electric, because where we stand at the moment is that the blocks are as follows. The pro-Netanyahu block is at 52. Remember, you need well over 61 to have that majority. The change block, which some are calling the anti-Netanyahu, I would rather go with the change analogy. They are at 57. But where it gets really interesting is that the deciders, the swing votes, which are at 11 seats, are held by Ra'am, which is an Islamist party, and Yamina, which is a far-right party headed by Naftali Bennett. I mean, you couldn't get two more different swing vote groups.
That's what makes it so interesting. Wow.
Well, this is it. You know, for people who don't know how the government is made up, Israel is based on proportional representation. You have the amount of seats allocated in the Knesset are based on the amount of proportional representation each party has. And in the run-up to this, and this is why I always say to people, Howard, don't believe the polls, because we've seen a complete change in the outcome than what was predicted.
And it's every time. It is every single time we see the same pattern. The polls say one thing, and then the result is something completely different.
Absolutely. This is why I say to people, it's not what the polls are saying. It's what the voters and the ballots will say on the days and subsequent days. So where we are at the moment is that, you know, running into this election, pun intended, it was expected that Gideon Sa'ar, who was the great breakaway hope, in fact, he called himself the new hope, he was predicted to get about 10 seats and was tipped to be the person to really cause the upset. Focus also on Naftali Bennett. And it's ironic that no matter how well Naftali Bennett performs holding a portfolio or in the run-up to elections, his party just cannot perform at the polls.
I've noticed that every time, and I predict this every time. I'm certainly no expert on it, but the one thing I know for sure is that Naftali Bennett never seems to manage to get over this hurdle of the polls. Somehow, no matter what he does, I don't think people like him.
There is something about Naftali Bennett, and in this respect, he's really acted in haste. You know, in the run-up to the elections, he made that very bold statement. He will not sit in a coalition with Yair Lapid. He will not, absolutely not join. Now he's changed his tune. Now he said, well, let's see what the final numbers are. And I also, you know, Howard, just want to make it clear to listeners, as a commentator and an analyst, these are not my personal projections or facts. These are the facts on the ground. These are the statistics and the analytics that we sit and we ponder over, you know, throughout an election. You know, I have been accused over the past couple of days of being anti-Netanyahu, but, you know, whatever politics I have, they kept, you know, firmly to myself. I am the great Sphinx on that one. But who has performed better than polled was both Avigdor Lieberman with Yisrael Biteinu, the Labour Party, who many people thought was done, and there was a lot of concern, people thinking, well, Israel's going to lean maybe too far to the right. But what this election has shown is that the centre has come back fighting, and Benny Gantz's Blue and White, that was predicted to maybe be relegated to either the textbooks or may at a major push get 4 seats. Well, they've done better than expected with 8 seats. And we are in a very interesting situation where the basic law is still intact. This is the law that was signed in that speaks about the rotation of premiership between Netanyahu and Gantz, which if we do not have a permanent government by the 17th of November and a proper coalition, Benny Gantz automatically becomes the Prime Minister of Israel. So it is really, really interesting. Performing not as well as they have in the past are the joint list, and performing better than they have in the past is Meretz.
I can tell you, I didn't see most of this coming. I have to say, I was convinced that Blue and White was going to disappear. Sorry, Rolino, are you with us?
I'm with you.
And tell us about Meretz.
Well, Meretz managed to get 4 seats, and they were basically a no-show in the previous election. But what we see here is a strategic voting by many people to try and strengthen or embolden the smaller parties to come in, because they very much can decide where to sit in the coalitions. And we have now the smaller parties trying to align themselves and move firmly into the Lapid camp, which is the camp that is pushing for change. We heard from some Likud activists saying yesterday that they were going to protest outside the homes of New Hope MKs to try and push them or force them to go with the Netanyahu camp. Very, very vocal have been Ra'am, who've said that they're not going to want to sit in any kind of coalition that has racists in their camp. And I'm quoting you verbatim. And who are we talking about? We're talking about the very, very controversial Ben Gavir, who's a Kahanist, and also Bezalel Smotrich. They are seen very much as being far right. People call them racists, people call them homophobes, and this is not where many of the smaller parties want to see themselves aligned. They are firmly in the Netanyahu camp at the moment.
So what do you think is likely to happen now? Because we just don't seem to have enough of, no one besides Likud has enough strength to be the kingmaker, it would appear. Where does it go from here, do you think?
Well, where does it go from here? We have our president who says he's going to take his time in inviting anyone to form a coalition. On the one hand, we have Likud with the most seats in the Knesset, so in all likelihood, the invitation should go to them. However, when it comes to the forming of a coalition bloc, we have the Change bloc sitting at much more than the Netanyahu bloc. So I think it all depends on where Yamina and Ra'am kind of place themselves in the next couple of days, and if we don't have any major movement or defections from one bloc to the other. And when one has a clear majority over that 61, I think the president's going to be very careful in handing the mandate over to them to see if they can form a strong government, a strong coalition. We ultimately would like a unity government. We need this to get done as soon as possible. We've got budgets that need to be passed. We've got important work, especially as we come out of the coronavirus pandemic and we open up our economy more and more, and we start to open up our airways more and more. We want to see Israel re-emerge and get back to the important work of allocating budgets to needy ministerial portfolios like education, like social welfare, like security, and strengthening the economy coming out of a pandemic.
Yeah. Let's just hope that that it doesn't all lead to hashtag number five. Can we please talk about the Iranian Olympic Committee? What is going on with this?
This is a very, very interesting and important situation that is breaking. There's a group of Iranian dissidents who have accused the head of the Iranian National Olympic Team, Sayed Reza Salehi, of killing Kurdish, Azerbaijani, and other political prisoners via torture while he served as the intelligence officer. Now, where this becomes particularly important or linked to the Olympics is towards the end of last year, one of Iran's like premier elite athletes, Navid Afkari, a wrestler, was executed by the Iranian regime. He was basically tortured to death. They say this is because he was seen to be protesting against the Iranian regime. You know, those very famous protests in 2018 where many Iranians took to the street to try and bring an end to the regime that is in government at the time. He was falsely accused of murder and arrested and put to death. This has led to absolute outcry around the world, including the International Olympic Committee, who have said that this is absolutely appalling. Now we've got a whole lot of Iranian sports dissidents said that, you know, he needs to not only step down, but there has to be justice for the people that he has rounded up and tortured and killed. While he was,
it's just the most unbelievable thing. Is this making news anywhere outside of Israel?
Well, so far it's making news in Israel because, of course, we're keeping an eagle eye on Iran. You know, if you were listening yesterday, you would have heard the new situation of the Israeli container ship en route in the Arabian Sea en route to India that was struck by an Iranian missile. There was damage done, thank goodness, not too much damage that would impair its journey. It's managed to make its way to India, where there will be an assessment of the damage. So there's this fight taking to the high seas there. But we're also looking at what is happening in Iran. Now, our conflict is not with the Iranian people. We have a huge concern for the conditions that the Iranian people live under. Our concern is for the Iranian regime and their hatred and their want to draw not just Israel, but the region into some kind of conflict or war.
Yeah, and certainly something to keep an eye on, as we, of course, will do. Rolene Marks, just to wish you and yours a Chag Sameach, a wonderful Pesach, and we'll catch you next week.
Chag Sameach, everybody. Yes, we are soon to be assailed by the aroma of chametz being burnt all over the country, but wishing you and yours Chag Pesach Sameach. Am I going to catch you next Friday?
Yes, certainly.